one of the things that I have learned, anytime there is a major human disaster where thousands of people are impacted, we should have mental health services for people on the ground to deal with the trauma. Every single day, even this morning, I am dealing with constituents who in one way or the other feel the impact of what happened last year in their daily lives. And my job has essentially changed. So this gets to another point of what I have learned. As elected officials, generally, we are responding to emails and letters and walk-ins and supporting some of the values that we ran on. The value of humanity, having access to resources at the state and or federal government, et cetera. I have learned that my service has now changed. It involves all of those things that I just mentioned, but it's much more than that. I literally comb through Twitter and Facebook to make sure that my constituents are okay. Yesterday, there was a person, and this happens all the time, and you know that I have been doing these conferences with organizations that I've been a member of for a long time. There was a young woman, transgender, who was thinking about committing suicide. I was not around whatsoever. And the emergency employment showed up and responded to the situation. And this young person said, "Where is Maria? Where is Maria? She is the only person who I will talk to because she is the only person who understands." There is another young man who is 15 years old who at least every month writes on his Facebook page that he is depressed and has said at least twice that he was thinking about committing suicide. One, he was brave enough to come out and share the fact that he is gay. But two, because he is dealing with this intersection of being involved in the movement and also being an open gay man, he is dealing with that in a very serious way. I respond to him every single day. Last night, I talked to him, and I said, every single speech that I have, I mention his name, because that's how often I think about him, every single day. There's another white man who has red hair, who lives in Ferguson, who is on papers, and he, too, on his Facebook, talks about depression, because he's fighting for this Black Lives Matter. And he feels isolated sometimes because there's so many people who look like him who don't understand why he is fighting. I use those three examples because my service has now changed. I am obviously a legislator, but I am continuously acting as if I am a mother and a consoler. I did not know that this is what I should look out for in a human disaster. There is no playbook when it comes to a human disaster. The only thing that we can depend on are our actions. And I am so glad that I was there in the most vulnerable point in time for my constituents when they needed someone to say, and validate the fact that they were angry and they are frustrated and they are concerned about their lives. I also learned that my service doesn't just include those people who are regular voters. As elected officials, what we generally do is reach out to people who are regular voters because that's basically how we design our campaigns. But our service includes way more people than those people who are regular voters. I am now doing outreach with former felons, with former gang members, rappers, current gang members. These are people who don't vote, but I have a responsibility to respond to them as if they were regular voters too. That's a lesson. It is also a lesson that I have new constituencies, obviously, from the statement that I just said. And the different cross-sections of people are coming together. Like, I never thought I would be shoulder to shoulder with someone who is advocating, equal justice in Israel. Many of the Palestinians are on the ground, standing right next to Holocaust survivors. You know, I never thought that would happen. You know, I just didn't think in the state of emergency that we were in, that two groups that would typically be against each other, at least in Israel, but I thought that there would be some kind of issue here in Missouri because it's only an extension. The conversation is an extension here in St. Louis. I thought that they would be in separate groups, but that's not what is happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have an alliance of young people, of some older people, not a lot, but some really important voices in the older generation. And you know, I also thought, I didn't think before this, I didn't think that people, young people specifically, would reject democracy. You know, democracy is such a beautiful thing to me, the exercise of democratic values. And I was always hungry for exercising my rights. I was the fire in my belly. I always had that fire, you know, so I can exercise my rights. And I am finding myself serving as teacher because there's so many energetic young people who are out on these streets, willing to get arrested, willing to fight for justice, willing to be tear gassed, willing to be tased excessively for justice for the next generation. And some of those people feel a disconnect between the life that I live in the state capital and their existence, you know, in our communities every day. My job now is connecting those two things, is the exercise of democracy and the exercise in preserving our rights as guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution.